Hello, my name is Robert Martyr. I'm the Stray, and this is the Three Count Podcast. Welcome.
Do you want to get live with me? Do you really want to ride with me? I'm in the club.
Welcome, everybody, to another great edition of the Three Count Podcast presents Thou Winch Ring, and I'm your host, Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And by now, you know, after season 5 and our 300 and something episode, right? I would just hope you say it with me. I am your Sherpa, because like your tribal chief, acknowledge me. But like every good Sherpa, you got to have someone who's been there, done that, and can do it more efficient than you can. That's why it's never about me. It's about who's entering. So who's entering the ring today? You can find this man at PPW, DOA, TTW, CCW, Prestige, Invictus, West Coast Pop, WAW, Remarkable, and so many other promotions. He is the Poisoned Youth. He is the South City Stretcher. He is the Stray Robber Martyr.
Hell yeah.
Hell
pretty
yeah.
Good intro, man. Hell yeah. Fuck yeah. I don't know if we can curse, but...
Oh, we can. It's okay. Free.
Yeah, but it, yeah, I'm really happy to be on. I know we've been trying to do this for a while, so it's really good that we get to do this finally.
Yeah. Well, we ran into each other, like, at Bio Wrestling Pro,
yes,
right? And then we caught up again with each other at Remarkable. Well, it was actually at Wrestling Open. You had just finished with Remarkable. You had
yes.
Worked that match with Desmond Cole.
Yes.
And then we started talking some more and stuff like that. And I was like, yo, like, we... We're two passing ships because we were supposed to meet at Invictus, but unfortunately we had missed each other at that spot. So it was cool to be able to sit back and chat with you and just kind of like pick your brain a little bit. And then I was like, yo, there's no doubt that we're going to have to do this episode and have some fun, like
absolutely.
Chatting it up.
And I feel like, especially at Bio, it was very interesting because we were in the midst of training and all that stuff. So it was like very interesting to see everything go down.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and the thing too is like, you know, not that we'll name drop, but Ricky Shane Page was running the whole thing. So we were just kind of like listening to him and like working, because it was like, for me too, it was like, I think it was like my third or fourth time, like just being up there and working with the guys. So it was like, it was crazy. It was a crazy pace, and I was like, yo, I'm here for it, because I was like, you know, especially what was it? We did that one
It was like cardio the whole time.
Yeah. It was a lot of cardio.
Yeah.
That woke me up. I'm not going to front, like, that woke me up, because I wasn't tired, right? But there was just a lot of movements that was requiring a lot of different strengths that, like, I, even myself, like, I'm in the gym probably like 4 or 5 days a week. And there was a lot of things that, like, I just wasn't conditioned with. So I was like, all right, now it's time to, like, up my conditioning with different types of workouts. And so, like, now it's like, I'm 20 minutes, like, 20-minute run session, 20-minute stairs, 20 minutes on elliptical, like, just trying to, like, keep my body
your cardio
moving.
Up, yeah.
Yeah, it was tough, man.
It was, like, an eye-opener, because I was like, oh, shit, well, I wasn't prepared for this. So hopefully, like, you know, hopefully I can keep up, which I did, but it was still, like, a very big challenge. I was like, oh, wow, like, let's test how much shape I really am in, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it was good. It was a good challenge. I loved it. And then, like, you know, now I'm like sat back, and I know a lot of my other clients are all mad because, like, a lot of stuff that Ricky was showing us, I have them doing now on our turf.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they hate it. And yeah. I'm just here for it.
Great. It's great. I was like, oh, this sucks. And the best part is he was telling us, like, oh, this is going to suck real bad for you guys. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I saw. So you know, we were doing like the frog jumps, where we're like literally like frog hopping, I guess
yeah.
is what we can call it. And yeah, so now I have my clients like running and doing that, and they're like, "Bro, I'm gonna fall every time I do this." I was like, "Well, we're gonna have to learn how to get balance, so
yeah.
Figure it out."
So what do you do? You're a personal trainer, I assume.
Yeah, so I've been doing it now for about a year, well, like 3 years now, going to my third year. Yeah. So my second year, going into my third year. So yeah, and I've been up in, I moved from Maryland to Massachusetts, and like that's where I've been now for, you know, almost a year now. So it's kind of crazy. It's kind of fun, you know.
Wow.
So yeah, so now I got a lot of cool stuff that like that we'll do, right? As far as like wrestling goes, I'll incorporate that stuff into my personal training. So like not just strength and not just strength building, but more strength and conditioning. and endurance. And so like a lot of my clients are like always doing like a lot of core work and they hate it.
I always consider my style of lifting power building. So it's a big mixture of deadlifts, squats being my main base, but also making sure I'm getting like my bodybuilding in there. But I love my lifts, so like I always try to get a good balance of that. Like I can never go without deadlifting.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people say against deadlifting too often, but I just love it too much to give it up, you know, especially when you have good form.
Just right. That was always my problem was like, I remember when I first started lifting and really getting into it and getting heavy into it, right? Like my deadlifting form was trash. Yeah. So I had a couple people like teach me how to properly deadlift. And now like I still Olympic deadlift every once in a while, but I don't do it as much as I used to. And it's because I found the trap bar to be way much more fun to use, right? And I know a lot of people be like, well, that's not really deadlifting. I'm like, I don't care. Like 315 is still 315, whether you're Olympic or you're trap barring. I don't really care. It's yeah. fun. It's fun to do. And then like, if you're doing a lot of weight, like I would love anybody to go tell somebody who's deadlifting with a trap bar, like close to 900 pounds that they're not really
lifting that. You know what I mean? Yeah.
It goes to me. Like, I think about the same people who talk about like Smith machines and for those who are knowing, right. They're like, yeah, you did 315 on a Smith machine, but you're not really like lifting. I'm like, what? It's weight, bro. It's still weight. Like
it's still weight. Yeah. People they're like, well, in competition, you don't use Smith machines. I'm like, well, obviously, because there's some type of assistance, but that doesn't mean you're not lifting the
right
proper weight. You know what I mean? Like people often forget that.
Yeah, I stay with the big to kind of jump on your point. I stay with the big three. I do love doing deadlifts. I love squatting and I love bench press. Like, but I've like kind of like transitioned away from barbell bench press, right? And it's only because like as I'm getting older in age, I'm looking for more function and mobility out of my shoulders.
Yeah,
so I kind of like left. I haven't left, but I'm like more into like just dumbbells and looking to add weight, but then also add volume into it as well.
Oh wow! Okay, so let me ask you this: what do you do to avoid pain in your rotators and your shoulders? Because this is something I find myself dealing with a lot when I do any type of pressing that involves my shoulders. It's like I used to be crazy, right? I used to press 80 pounds, 90 pounds shoulder press. And one day I was just like, I just can't do this anymore. It's like too painful. I just can't do it. So now I do 35 max. I won't even hit 40. Mm. And I'll do high repetitions. But even now I'm being told, like, don't even do shoulder press anymore. Like, just it's just not worth it.
You know, it's funny because, like, if you look back at, like, the lifts that Arnold Schwarzenegger was doing, right, with the Arnold presses, when you're like, doing a shoulder press, rotate
deals, yeah.
Yeah, and nobody back then was like, no, that dude, don't do that. Don't do this, right? It's to me, right, my personal opinion, right, guys, if you want to argue about it, you can argue in the comment section. I don't really care. And also, by the way, this goes into wrestling because hey, you got to be able to pick people up and safely put them down. Like, we have to put trust in there. But for me, it's a lot of band work to start with. Like, you got to warm those shoulders up.
I do cold turkey it a lot.
Don't do that. it goes back to
shoulders. So it's just, you know, going crazy.
It goes back to something that I don't know if you're a fan of the show Peacemaker with John Cena. It goes back to something that John Cena said in that show, right? The very first episode, very first scene, right? When he's talking to the doctor and they have the X-ray machine of his shoulder, and he's like, "Doc, can you enhance the shoulder? Because, you know, I like to work on the little muscles just as much as the big muscles." And it's a funny line. But to me, I'm like, yo, that is so serious. Like, and then she says, you know, this isn't Tinder. Like, you don't have to worry about that. But it's one of those things where it's like you have to warm up those shoulders properly. You have to get them moving. Right. And, you know, you have three heads in the shoulder. So you need to focus on, you know, the front, the top and the back. So make sure that you're getting all that band work in, because if you're not warming your shoulders and you go cold turkey, like injuries do happen. And you know, and when you're young, you don't think about those things because you're like, oh, just in a couple of days, I'll be good again. But then like you go back and you're like, oh, I still got a little pain here. And then you're just like, I gotta get back into my band work. So yeah, I always tell people get a band, warm up. Another thing that I usually tell people too is get a lacrosse ball and set it on your shoulder and then set it against the wall and like you're gonna look like around. Yeah, you're gonna look like you're doing a, you know, the stanky leg, you're just doing your dance. So you're dancing. But well, yeah, that works.
In a match back last January, so almost a year now. I would say, yeah, exactly a year. Well, not exactly, but at the time, I pinched my AC and I still haven't formally gotten it checked out. But I've been doing a lot of different remedies and I've heard that ball on the wall is the truth. I heard that that's the truth. So I'm thinking of when I go to the gym later today, I'll definitely be doing that. 'Cause you know, it's always like there's this bump in wrestling. I call it a Looney Tunes bump where you put your arms out here and you fall like this. Yeah. I can't do the Looney Tunes bump anymore. My shoulder won't go that far anymore. So my shoulder can reach over my head, but this one, as you can see.
Yeah, I can see the difference.
As you can see the difference of how far one can go versus the other one. And I had this like mentality when I started wrestling that I'll never get injured, ever. Like I'll never get injured. Like I'm too good. And it's not even a thing. And you always think it's something that you can control. No, I just body slammed somebody. My shoulder just gave out. Literally nothing I could have done.
It's always the things that you don't expect to happen that happen, right? I know for me. And this was like right before I got into personal training, but I was teaching the guys how to do a simple roll, right? And we're talking about like a 3/4 roll, and I did it wrong, right? And I thought something felt weird the first time I did it, but I was like, ah, it's all right, I'm gonna do it again. I did it again, right? Wrong side, full transparency, and put so much torque, I tore my lower ab. So I was out for like 12 weeks.
Oh my God.
Because of it. And so like, yeah, it's the craziest. It's the littlest things that we do that you feel it. Right. Recently I shared a story because I was there, not because like I can't remember the dude's name, but watched the kid do a drop down. And as he did a drop down, like he was hitting the ring pretty hard when he was doing a drop down. I was like, yo, and he was hitting with his elbows down and his fist closed. Right. And he's doing these drop downs. And finally he did one. And all of a sudden I hear, oh, and his shoulder popped out of place.
Oh,
yeah. And I was like, I tell people it's the littlest things that like happen. So we have to like, when we're in the gym or where you're not doing anything, we're sitting on the couch or something, like, hey, if you didn't go work out or you haven't lifted or you haven't stretched out, stretch out, like keep that body nice and loose, nice and warm. Because at the end of the day, you jump in and you do something crazy. Boom. That's it. You know, what was it? My buddy, Joe Ocasio, right? Throwing a simple clothesline, tears his ACL. So, I mean, those things happen, bro. And it's like, yeah. So now we have to think about those things, especially when we're young, like, man, like, and like yourself, right? You know, you're like, I think you're getting close to, yeah, I was like, you're getting close to mid-20s, right? It's like, yeah, we have to make sure that we're properly warming up and properly cooling down. That's another thing that I just started learning to do again. And I say do again because I was doing these things. I got out of it for about like 6-7 years. And recently I just got back into warming down, cooling down the body. But like recovery is also a big thing. Like if you're tired and you think you're going to get, like, I don't want to say it like this, and you know, forgive me for this, people, when you hear this, but when you think you're getting tired and you don't want to go lift in the gym, do a recovery day. Because you don't want to get hurt. You want to keep your body kind of nice. Like, do some foam rolling, do some band work, and do some light cardio, and then call it a day, go home, rest, and then get back into it the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. People don't want to hear that, you know? You see people like Sam Sulek and all these, like, big jack dudes that are like, oh, I don't believe in recovery days, you know what I mean? Like, my recovery day is doing this many sets of this many, like it's a deload. And I'm like, well, I still feel like you need like a deload is not enough. You know what I mean? You need a genuine day where you're like, I'll just go and do cardio. You know what I mean? And that's it. Yep. I'll do cardio. I'll do like maybe like 5 sets of 20 push-ups, something like that. And then I'll go home. And you know what I mean? That's, your body needs those days, because especially if you're doing, you're at the gym doing like a high intensity, because not everybody lifts with high intensity. People don't always lift with high intensity. But that's my training style, is like high intensity. I'll do 4 to 5 sets maximum. I don't like overtraining. I trained with Dynamite Kid's nephew, and he overtrains. Like, I was dead. I was dead after we were done. Like, he was like, mate, I probably overtrained, but, you know, screw it. You know, and I'm like, man, you look great now. But I'm like, dude, how do you do this? Like, he's doing, we did 5-6 sets to absolute failure. Mm. And then after you're done, well, of chest press. So yeah. Absolute, and I'm talking about absolute failure, Red Dog. Absolute failure. Like, nothing left. And then that's when he'll spot you. Like, that's his mentality, right? It's like, you got nothing left. Your arms are shaking. You're about to cry. Then he's helping you, right? And then from there, push-ups till fail. And then from there, dips till fail. And you do that circuit 5 to 6 sets. And it was one of the most brutal workouts I've ever done, truly. Like, it was brutal. And I've never been blown from lifting, ever. But I was. You know, I was like, I'm glad I did it because I got through it. But would I do that every single day like he does? No. And that's also like a thing of like understanding your body. Because like, I forgot what his name is. Tom something. Tom Platz. You know who Tom Platz is?
Sounds familiar.
Tom Platz, he has like the best legs in bodybuilding. And his thing was that he wanted to lift like Arnold, who was lifting 6 days a week.
Right.
And he got small doing that. But when he lifted 4 to 5 days a week with high intensity, sometimes even 3, he got huge. So it's all about listening to your body and what works for your body. That's why I never get intimidated when somebody's like, well, I just lift 6 to 7 days a week. I don't stop. Like, glad for you, bro. I can get the same pump and get the same results doing less days. You know, to me, that's more impressive than having to go to the gym every day and kill yourself, you know, at the gym. And you're there for, like, I couldn't imagine being at the gym for 6 hours unless it's my job, you know what I mean?
No.
Like, unless I'm an IBBF pro bodybuilder and I'm just doing this for leisure and, like, health. Couldn't imagine going to the gym for 6 hours a day. Couldn't imagine it. You couldn't pay me to be in the gym. Like, I love the gym, but I don't love it that much. You know what I mean?
I'm not making it my whole personality. That's exactly the one thing. Yeah. No. It's one of those things too where I look at lifting, and like for me, at the max, I think I've been like at the max, right? Hour and a half. Like, not including cardio, hour and a half lifting. That's it. Because after there's a point in time where like the return on investment is no longer there. And it's like, now you're just damaging the muscle now. Instead of building it, you're just damaging it. For me, yeah.
That like there gets to a point where your body is just like, I can't.
Yeah. And it's cool to be sore, right? It's cool to be sore. But it's not okay to be roasted to the point where you're like, the next morning you get up and you're like, I just can't even move out of the bed right now. I have no functionability. I'm like, that's not cool. Like, yeah. And I know a lot of people always say that myth, right? Of so I mean, it's cool to be sore, right? And it's good to have that soreness, but not to the point where you just can't even roll out of bed, because like that's damaging, right? And you're at the point where you're like, you don't even want to go to the gym. Some days you just don't get motivated because you're like, I don't want to be that sore again. For me, like I like the idea of like, hey, like I'm sore, like I can still move, I have some functionality so that I can do my next day, which is why like. For my splits, with I know a lot of people are different, right? I'll do like I do legs on Monday, push on Tuesdays, pull on Wednesdays. The Thursdays is like my recovery day. Friday is either a plyometric or speed and training or speed and agility, and then Saturday, I usually work out with my daughter, so we just kind of hit everything. It's a lot of fun, but yo, those are the splits, and I'm at max. We're there. Hour and a half, not including cardio.
if you're doing that many days, you're, again, like you said, hour and a half, you're not there for 5-6 hours. It would be a very different story if you, that's the thing. It's all about volume. Like if you're going 6 days a week, you shouldn't be there longer than what you said, hour and a half.
Yep.
you should not be lift. Your body is as much of a car as we think it is. You know what I mean? Like if you're putting, if you're dropping like 400 miles every day, you know what I mean? Like it's, you can't do that.
Especially if you're like, and I love the analogy you just used. It's like if you're in a car, right? You're not trying to redline constantly. Yeah. Like it's one thing, like if you're redlining from like, let's say a 30-minute drive, that's one thing. But if you're doing that over 6 hours, no, absolutely not. But also like the other thing I tell a lot of people too, even my clients, right? I'll talk to them about this. Like take your rest time. And I'm not talking about like a 5 to 10 minutes of rest. I think that's ridiculous, right? When you're in the gym. And especially if you're in the gym for 6 hours, you're probably doing that. You're probably taking 10 minutes of rest. Like, hey, your rest period should be like 2 to 3 minutes if it's just you, right? And I say that because like there's studies showing that like people who rest 2 to 3 minutes are between like 80% to 90% of their recovery. And that way you can get more volume into it. But like when I'm with my clients, like I joke with them all the time about that stat, and I tell them, but you're paying for my time, so you're only going to get a minute of rest because I don't need to be talking to you for 2 or 3 minutes. And I was like, yeah. I get annoying as shit. But yeah, I still tell people, like, take 2-3 minutes off and just relax. You know, people are going to be pissed because, you know, you see those guys who are like on their phone texting or like watching videos and stuff.
Sometimes I get lost in the sauce and I'm like, oh shit, I've been here for 3 minutes. Well, what the fuck am I doing? Like, you know what I mean? Like, luckily, I don't really talk to that many people in the gym. Well, let me ask you this. What is your premier time if you were to, if you live in a commercial gym, right? What's your premier time to go, in your opinion?
Oh, for me, if I'm trying to hit all the machines I'm trying to hit, yeah, I'm between like 12 to 2.
Oh, so you're an early bird. Okay.
Yeah, nobody's in there. No one's there at lunchtime, right? Like, just let me get it in from.
I'm a night owl, bro. I go at like 1 in the morning.
I know that
here's the thing, is like that's very good and also very bad, because there's nobody in the gym, nobody's fucking bothering you, there's no music, it's just you and your weights. But also it fucks up my sleep schedule.
Yep. So,
what I try to do is I'll get there at 11 and leave by 1. That's probably what I try to do, you know, because by the time I'm in the middle of like being done with a deadlift or something like that, people have already trickled out at that point.
Yeah. So I would challenge you to go in at 9 p.m., be done at 11, and you start sleeping at 12.
Okay. Right?
And then get yourself up at like 8 or 9, depending on where you work. I don't know your schedule like that, but I would just get that full rest period, because that sleep schedule has to be on point too, because like what you end up happening, right, while you're asleep, that's when your body's healing itself, and that's so important, that rest period. Like I'm guilty of not being able to get enough sleep. Like my Fitbit hates me because it's telling me my sleep score is like always in the 60s and 70s, and very rarely I'm in the 80s. So it's always like, hey yo bro, get more rest. I'm like, nah, we gotta go, man, we're ready. Yeah. But I find like my perfect window is like 7 hours of sleep. And when I get that, like the whole day I'm running at 100 miles an hour.
Gotcha. I heard when, as you get older, like that window of sleep that you need kind of gets shorter to function.
Well, I mean, if you have kids and stuff like that, it definitely happens.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm guilty because like my problem is like, let's be real. And this is a wrestling podcast, so we'll jump into it. But, I'm a wrestling nerd, so I love watching anything that's wrestling related. And so most times we watch wrestling at like 7 or 8 o'clock, right? And that shit doesn't end till 10. If you're watching Raw, 11 o'clock. And so like I'm in bed at like midnight because I'm like, oh, and then I remember, oh yeah, I walk my daughter to the bus stop every day. So I'm like, I'm getting up at 6:30 in the morning to walk her out the door by 6:50, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm so tired. I'm gonna get some more sleep. But then I remember, oh, I gotta go train clients from 8 o'clock in the morning till my last client leaves at 6 o'clock at night, and then in that time period, I still gotta go lift. I'm like, bro, like this is exhausting. But you know, you do it because you love it. But then you gotta remember too, like you have to get that rest period, which is also why I put a recovery day in, because I'm like, I need this day just for me.
Just for you. Exactly. Yeah.
So let me ask you, man. Let me ask you about this. So I like asking this question. We're 20 minutes into this. Yeah. But who is Robert Martyr?
Robert Martyr, that's a very layered question, because Robert Martyr is a lot of things. But I would say the biggest thing that Robert Martyr is that he's someone that so thoroughly believes in what he's doing, especially wrestling. It's that wrestling quite literally saved his life. Saved my life. It saved Roberto's life. You know what I mean? Myself and Robert Martyr are one in the same in a lot of ways, but they're also very different. I feel like when I broke my neck in 2017, I didn't know if I was going to wrestle again. I got hurt in training real bad. I got Hurricane Ronan, and I landed on my head, and I snapped my C6. But it wasn't the straight through the middle. It was the top right corner. Mm. So it wasn't a full break. So that's what essentially, you know, pretty much saved my career. And they asked me, like, hey, do you do any, like, wrestling neck bridges or anything, any neck strength training? And they, well, I was like, yeah, I do. I do it all the time, neck bridges for, like, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. And you know, it's not the best for you, but it comes in handy when you need it. And it literally came in handy because the muscle went through the bone to stop it from breaking. Mm. And they told me that that quite literally is the reason why I'm like, I'll be good. So wrestling legitimately saved my life. So since then, I was like, oh, wow, I almost became a martyr for wrestling. I almost died for wrestling. So That's like the best way I could put Robert Martyr, is that somebody that's willing to die for what he believes in.
I like that. I like that a lot. You know, it's funny for me because, like, getting into the sport, right, to the performance, whatever you want to call it, entertainment, I don't give a damn. Sports entertainment, whatever, you know. It was something for me, like, when I graduated out of college, I was like, all right, I don't know what to do with my life. Like, I had just got out of the military back in, like, 2012, and I was like, I'm trying to figure out what I want to do. So I went back into college, and I got out of college, and I was like, I don't know what to do. And then, like, I got fat. I got big. Yeah. And so, like, I was in the gym lifting, and I saw this kid wearing a John Cena t-shirt, right? The old green and yellow shirt. And we started talking back and forth, and I ran into him later in, like, a grocery store randomly, and he was stocking bread. So I asked him, I was like, yo, like, wrestling's been around me my whole life. Like, everywhere I've looked, like, I've seen WWE or TNA, Impact, whatever you want to call it, AEW before that, WCW. But all this stuff was around me, and I was like, man, maybe this is, like, a sign that I'm supposed to do this. So I finally asked him, and he was like, yeah, man, I have a show coming up, and it was a dark arts show. Right, the dark arts. We don't call what you want, backyard. So I went, checked it out, and then I got involved. And then, like, one of my friends was like, if you're gonna do something, do something. Otherwise, stay here. And I made the jump. And, like, bro, I remember, like, just training for the first time and, like, just having so much fun. That was like, this is where I'm meant to be. Like, mentally, I'm at my best when I'm in the ring, because, like, I'm there, and I'm not paying attention to the rest of the world. I don't know. And there's a high to it that it's hard to explain. And I like you, like, I think wrestling really brought me back to life that I absolutely needed. Like, full transparency, like, I love the fact that you said it, you know, obviously with neck bridges, it saved your life. But, like, mentally too, like, I was just drained. Like, I was ready to just kind of, like, whatever, this is what it is. I hate everything. Right. I mean, the only two things that I loved in my, well, so B3, right, was my dog, my daughter, my wife, right, my family. That was it. Like, that was the only thing I had that was like, I'm happy. And then I found this thing that literally just, like, put a whole new thing into me. And I was like, this is where I need to be.
Hell yeah. And that's, like, mentally, that's what I needed too, was wrestling. Wrestling was like the one thing that was just holding me together, you know what I mean? It was really that thing that, it was just a glue to my life. Like everything, any solace that I needed, anything that I felt like, I just, anytime I would get so stressed out on life or whatever was going on in my life, it was always wrestling holding me together. So I always felt like when I was a kid, like I needed to do it and I needed to do it soon. So that's why I started so young.
Yeah, that was something I did notice. I was like, damn, bro, like you travel a lot and you're young. Like you have like the mileage, like yeah, flight wise, all over the place.
Dude, I tried, man. I was so like, I didn't want to be a Florida guy. That was like a big thing that I was like very self-conscious of, because I would always hear like, oh yeah, he's a good Florida wrestler. And I would hate that. I hated that so much. So eventually I was just like, oh man, I got to get out of Florida. I got to not be a Florida guy. So for like a year straight, I just figured it out, man. I just was like ruthless as far as like trying to get bookings that were out of state. And eventually, like now it's my only bookings. I don't even wrestle in Florida anymore.
It was one of those things where I learned, and I kept hearing the word 30 miler, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 40 and I didn't, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't want to be that guy. Like, I know, like, there's a couple of promotions when I was training in Maryland that were just, like, around the corner, and they were all, like, cool. But, like, I only saw, like, the same, like, six people were at these shows, and I was like, great, I want to go to other places, I want to work in other states. So finally, I went from being around the local to like traveling out to like West Virginia, into Pennsylvania, down to Virginia, and then in Maryland, and then I went to Delaware, and then eventually I reached out to Jersey, and then I moved, right? And now it's like, cool, now I'm in Massachusetts. So I've worked a couple places in Massachusetts, worked in a couple places in Maine, and then traveled back down to Pennsylvania, down to Maryland, because I just want people to know, like, Red Dog is not limited to just like
one place.
The DMV, yeah. Just yeah, like places in Maryland. No, I'm moving around, and I want that to be known. So it's definitely cool watching you, because it's like, I think 1 week I talked to you, you were in the New England area, and then, you know, I we were talking about doing this and getting this together, and you were headed to Canada, and I was like,
yeah,
I looked at your just your cage match, and I know that gives like a rough estimate of where everything is, and I was like, damn man, my boy is traveling out in Cali, back in you know, PA, down to like you're
dude,
there.
It's nuts. It's like cage match only gets like half of that shit, right? You know, like, so it's like way more than what's on cage match. Like, there's a whole 4 years of my career that's not even listed on there, because it says I started in 2018, which isn't correct, right? You know what I mean? So what's it called, after that, like as far as like just traveling, like, you just have to be ruthless about it. You have to just take what comes and like really impress, you know what I mean? Because that's like the big thing, is like impressing. Because if you don't impress, then nobody's going to bring you back. You know what I mean? Yeah. I always treated every booking like, oh, I might not come back. You know what I mean? I got to make sure this is worth it. And also like the money that I spent on the trip, all that stuff.
No, you bring up a great point. The money that you're spending, because like, traveling ain't cheap, bro. Like, it's not expensive. Especially you would go here, there, everywhere. Like, I know just for me, like, just driving wise, like, we're not even talking about the mileage of my car. We're just talking about like the tolls that I gotta drive through, and, you know, then you're like the gas, food, you know, if you're staying at a place, right, lodging wise, like how much is it gonna cost for like a hotel room to drive back the next day? Like, yeah, it's ridiculous, man. But you know what? The funny thing is, listening to you talk about it, though, it's like, it was like listening to when, like, Rusev or Miro, right, when he was talking about like his come up journey, and he was like, I think he was a taxi driver.
I don't even remember. Okay.
Yeah, he was like driving people around. So whether it was like Uber or whatever, but he was traveling, and he said like doing that job like helped prepare him for the road life. Yeah.
You know, what's funny is like, I come from a long line of like truck drivers, so they all travel long distances. So my parents never got really worried about like, oh, I'll be driving 7 hours today. You know what I mean? Like, they never really cared that much because it was like, oh, 7 hours is a breeze. You know what I mean? Like, to them, that's nothing, which is crazy. but as far as pro wrestling goes, like, I feel another thing that sets me apart is like, I watch so much of it, and I feel like not enough people watch, like, not just a lot of wrestling, but a lot of different wrestling. Like, I make sure I watch every style. Like, bro, I barely watch, like, anything current. Like, I do. I keep up and make sure, you know, I'm caught up with everything that's going on. But all the wrestling that I watch is, like, way before I was born. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's always, like, and they always tell you, especially, like, if that's the character that you're, the mindset that you have of, like, who you're trying to portray, right? Everybody has, like, those guys, right, that they vibe to, right? Whether it's we can use like Eddie Guerrero, right? Or we can keep it all the way old, right? And we just talk about the Briscoes, Nick Bockwinkel, right? You have those guys that you're like, well, I like that style, or I like that brute style of like a Bruno Sammartino, right? And I like that style of like, you know, getting in and out of locks and figuring stuff out. So I'm more of like a Bob Backlund type, or I want to be a high flyer. And I love Juventud Guerrera, right? So everybody has like that stuff that they pay attention to. I watch yours. Yours definitely is like a homage to like old school, like brute style.
Yeah, yeah. And that's like, it's what I try to do. It's my favorite style of wrestling. It's what keeps me engaged. So it's like, you know, I can appreciate like wrestling that I can't do. That's my favorite type of wrestling that I cannot do. But my favorite wrestling to do is my type of style. It's like, I always watch like Fit Finley as a kid and like watch his run with the US title and like 06. Yeah. And that stuff to me was like so cool. Like, I thought he was the coolest wrestler ever. Like, he had the best theme song. My name is Finley. I love to fight. Like, I loved that. So watching Eddie and Benoit and Kurt and all those guys, like, I always felt like just that style that I grew up on was the style that I wanted to do.
Yeah, it's that hard hit 'em style. I know for me, it was, for me, I was more of a like Eddie Guerrero, Chris Jericho when he was like the original Lionheart, not like the new version of the Lionheart. Not to have a problem with it, but you know, there's just a clear difference between those two. And then like Rey Mysterio was my favorite, is still my favorite wrestler of all time. That doesn't change. Yeah. But like CM Punk also kind of bring a current style. Like, just those guys like had like this fun knack of like being able to showcase what they did and then having a twist on their own style of wrestling, which I thought was always cool. That's where I look. That's my look up too.
Hell yeah. I mean, I think that a big thing is also like making sure you're not replicating, making sure that you're innovating all constantly. That's really hard to do. It's really hard to like make sure that you're constantly creating new stuff. And it's like, I feel like to innovate, you have to imitate for a little bit.
Yeah.
Just to figure out what works and what works for you. Like, I feel like I've finally passed that imitation part and I can start finally like working on my own stuff.
Yeah, and it all goes back to like character work too, right? Like, where you're growing into this character, you're developing this world, and then the character kind of like takes over the world and start to understand like, okay, this is how he would throw a punch, or this is how he would throw a kick, or if he was in the middle of a dog fight with like kendo sticks, right? This is how he's gonna react to this or that, right? He's gonna be ready for this, right? I know, like for me, I wanted my character to have like a bunch of different styles, so it's. And I mean that as in the sense of like dress wear, right? So I have an all black gear, right? Where it's black pants, black boots, and a black vest, right? The reason for a vest, duh, because like he doesn't want to get hit, right? And if he does get hit, it's in the vest and it doesn't affect him as much. I have the all red gear, which is similar to the guy who's like right there, sitting right there, right? Like Deadpool.
Yeah.
I have a red and black and camos. I have black camos. I have great, my Air Force camos. I like have all that stuff because I want people to know like, oh, different styles of how I'm dressed is different ways I'm presenting myself. So when I come out in like camo shorts, and you know that Cliff's, that Red Dog is there with the I don't give a fuck attitude, and we're just there to do damage and talk a lot of shit. If he's there in his all reds, he's there to have fun, to you know, make a mockery of the other person, but also like just kick the shit out of them. And if I'm in all black, it's stealth mode. Like we're in it to, we're, hey, look, we're looking to break bones and break necks and just walk out.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I dig that. I don't think that's many people are doing that. So it's pretty sick.
Yeah. So I usually, I'll sit in the back and I'll be like, yo, what kind of attitude do I want to have today? And I'm like, I'm feeling kind of snarky.
Yeah.
Let's use the camo pants today. So it's always something different.
Hell yeah.
But what was that moment that you got into that you saw and you're like, you know what? That's it. I gotta get in.
Probably I saw Bryan Danielson versus Homicide. Yes. Ring of Honor. And they saw when Homicide won the world title, and I was like, wow, like that's, I have to do this now. Like, this is crazy. Like, the reaction that match got, Homicide winning. I watched Eddie Guerrero versus Chris Benoit, Avengers 2003 was another match, and I was like, wow, like this is, I think the Benoit match, the Eddie Benoit match made me fall in love with wrestling. What's it called? The Bryan Danielson match is what made me want to do it, if that makes sense. Yeah. So I think that was kind of the split right there. It was like, wow, I love this. Wow, I have to do this now. But yeah, that was it. You know, my grandmother she was a tape trader. So she had all these, my grandmother was a tape trader. She had all these old wrestling VHS DVDs and just would play them for me. And that's the only thing that would make me sit still as a kid. Cause I had really bad ADHD. So I had like I could not sit still, but wrestling was the only thing that calmed me down.
It's funny because like I feel, and I've said this a few times, like on this podcast, right, with other wrestlers, I always feel like it's the women in our lives that introduce us to wrestling. I think I found like a couple people who said it was like their dad or their uncle or their grandfather, but the majority of the time it's usually a grandmother, an aunt, you know, like your mom, right? It's always somebody there who's like, hey, come check this out. And you're like, oh yeah. And then you're stuck.
It's so crazy. Like it really is nuts. But yeah, she was a tape trader, and it's like, it's so crazy to think about because she had so many wrestling VHSs as a kid.
But like, that's it. It does get crazy. I know for me, my aunt was the one that introduced me to pro wrestling. I was watching Jake the Snake Roberts unleash his cobra on Macho Man, like as a recovery, as a recap. And I was like, yo, does wrestling get like this all the time? She's like, no, never. Like, stop watching this. It's like, I can't. So that's what got me.
That's awesome.
Hey, let me ask this question. So you kind of talked about like, I maybe it's not the worst bump, maybe it is, right? But you know, you breaking your neck was a pretty severe bump, right? That was, I would say 100% sucks.
Yeah.
But what was the worst bump that you have taken?
Oh man, if you watch, it's on YouTube. It's me versus Anthony Henry. And Henry takes me and throws me into the pole head first. It's on YouTube. You can watch it. That, or he, in that same match, he kicks me in the back harder than I've ever been kicked in my life. So if you just watch that match, that whole match was the worst bump that I've ever taken. If you watch that whole match.
The whole match.
It was one of my best matches, though, I would say that.
I like that. All right, before we jump into my favorite part of the 3-Count podcast, I got to ask this question. What's one of the hardest lessons you've had to learn being in the business?
You are expendable. You are absolutely 100% replaceable, expendable. You are not special. Somebody else will find a new you and a better you like that. And swallowing that and realizing that I'm not special and that the only way to be special is to become special is hard, very hard, because you put all this work, you hype yourself up that you're the shit, that you deserve this, and then you realize, wow, I could really get replaced just like that, and it could all be gone. So appreciating every moment, accepting every moment, enjoying every moment. even through the hard tough moments. Like the fact that I get to travel and do what I love, that's a victory in its own. So not to get frustrated, even though it's hard to get not to get frustrated, but mostly it's just like, hey, how many people are there in the world that are at an office job wishing that they could do their dream? I'm not one of those people. So why do I have a reason to be all shitty and bitter? You know what I mean? I never understood being so bitter in wrestling, because you're a wrestler. It's one of the coolest jobs you can have. You know what I mean? So that's a big thing for me.
No, that's a great lesson to learn. I love that a lot, because that is so true. That, yeah, everybody's expendable. So just, you know, enjoy what you got while you can, and don't take it for granted. That's definitely massive. I love that. Yo, we're going to jump into my favorite part of the Three Count Podcast. It is called the Three Count Podcast 10 Count Questions. And Mr. Martyr, this is how it works. I'm going to fire off 10 questions at you rapid fast, and whatever your answer is, that is your answer.
Okay.
So here we go. We're going to put on the matching timer for added pressure. Bing! And in the words of my favorite color commentator, Mike Goldberg, here we go. SmackDown or Raw?
SmackDown.
Favorite actor?
Robert De Niro.
Let's go. Pepsi or Coke?
Pepsi.
Favorite movie?
Taxi Driver.
Let's go. Apple or Android?
Apple.
Favorite cartoon?
Billy and Mandy.
That's a great one. Marvel or DC?
DC.
Favorite podcast?
This one.
I'm talking about. We have this marketed everywhere too. Nominate one person that you want to see on this podcast.
Jay Lyon.
Let's go. Jay Lyon is the man.
Oh yeah.
Last but not least, my favorite question to ask every single person who comes on this podcast: favorite curse word?
Nematode. That's a real one. If you call somebody a nematode on the street, that's fucking terrible. I like curse words that aren't like curse words. I like, you scoundrel, you fucking, you fuck, bro. If you someone, okay, like, picture this, right? Red Dog, you're in a disagreement with some random fucking guy. This guy calls you, you little fucking nematode. I would get so offended. I would get so hurt by that. Because he had to really think about that one. He had to, like, he didn't just say, oh, go fuck yourself. He said, you fucking little nematode. Like, that's like, that's just so demeaning.
That's the worst.
It's the soul. It's the soul, man. I'm like, oh.
And then even, like, for some people, you're like, yo, I don't know what that means, but he said so disrespectfully. Like, I'm.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
I'm ready to fight.
Exactly. It's like, you shrimp. Like, like, dude.
We're just like name shrimp. Calling. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a fucking, yeah, name calling. I love that.
Oh, no, I could definitely share stories with you, like, afterwards of, like, funny-ass conversations that people have said to me, and I'm like, bro, oh, like, I'm, like, mad, but also, like, impressively offended.
Yeah. Impressed.
Yo, all right, man, but those are all my questions I have for you, so the last thing I need, right, is for you to let our listeners and our viewers know where they can find you.
You can find me up. Excuse me, Jesus. I just had cereal like right before this podcast. It's kicking my ass right now. You can find me on Twitter, or it's called X now, the Apex RM. That's the Apex RM. And on Instagram, you can find me at Death to Me, Death to Martyr. And that's Death and then T-O Martyr. So, yeah, that's pretty much, I don't use Facebook that much. So you can just find me on Instagram and Twitter.
Matt, well, he gave you all of his handles. He told you where you can find him. And, you know, that means, like every great part of a wrestling match, we got to take this home. Because this is the Three Count Podcast presents Now Entering. And I'm your host, Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up that mountain to call wrestling. And like I said, you know, being your Sherpa, it's never about me. It's about who's entering. So who's entering? You see the man right there, right? Robert Martyr himself. And you guys know what to do. Tune in to the next episode and be there. Or you're following us on all of our social media platforms, which is right up above. You're following us on YouTube. You're listening to us on Spotify. You're even checking us out on Amazon Music. Or you're peeping us on iHeartRadio or whatever that dumb jingle is that they do. You're buying all of our merch on ProWrestlingTees.com or even ForYourWear.com. You're doing all that stuff. You know, you're leaving comments. You're leaving likes. You're leaving subscribes, you're doing all that cool stuff, telling your mom, your dad, your uncle, your brother, your sisters, your dogs, your haters, because we love haters too, so send them our way. You're doing all that stuff, or really, you're just kind of waiting for this episode to end, you're waiting for the outro, and then you're choosing another episode to listen to. Kawaii!
What's going on? It is Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that beat you up that mountain called wrestling. And what we need from you guys is just kind of show some support, right? We want you guys to go to our YouTube channel at the 3Count Podcast, go on to our Twitch channel, 3Count Pod, or even our Facebook page, 3Count Podcast, and just give us a like, follow, subscribe, even give us a comment, right? Do all that cool stuff. Share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with your enemies, right? Or you can even come talk to us and just chat us up, right? Find us on Twitter at 3Count_Pod. Find us on IG and on TikTok at 3Count Pod. Go ahead and leave us those comments. We want to hear from all of you guys. We're going to keep putting on videos and stuff like that. We want to keep making this content better, so we want your guys' support. Also, if you guys want to, go support us at prowrestlingtees.com/the3countpodcast, or even find us on foryourwear.com. Give us a support. Show us your guys' love, because we want to give it right back to y'all. So, in the meantime, between time, love y'all.